All right, it's time. Welcome to the program. Good morning, good afternoon. We're into our third hour. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. You know, the funny thing about the Beef segment is we are not on TV this week. CBS Sports Network is not carrying the program because we are preempted, which is fine. But Alvin said to me, do you want me to bring in the giant plastic tower of beef, even though we're not simulcast on CBS Sports Network, for mood? I'm like, great question, dude. I thought about it for a minute, and I'm like, nah, you know what? I don't even need it because the segment will carry itself. It always does. Why? Because there are countless people with beefs. Old Trapper sets it up for us once a week. Believe it or not, there is a phone line open. They were all lit before, but you could still get through. If you've got a beef, hit me up on the phones, 1-800-636-8686. Once again, it does not matter what your beef is. I will take a beef on anything at all, sports, non-sports, business, non-business, personal, social, family, friends, work, anything, your boss, your best old ex-friend or ex. Let's just do it. Starting with some tweets and emails, then I'll work my way back to the phones. First one, the tone setter, Rome. I have a beef with people audibly laughing at their movie on an airplane. I was traveling for the holidays, and the dude sitting behind me was cracking up like he was in the front row at the Laugh Factory. I had my 3-year-old and my 1-year-old, and this knucklehead slapping his knees was still the most annoying person in a 10-row radius. Taylor in Manhattan Beach. That's how you start that. Well done, Taylor. I agree with you. I've never understood that. There's always that one a-hole on an airplane who's laughing out loud, like totally unaware. Are you kidding me? Like, I would stifle my laughter over a funny line. This dude up front is like a hyena. It's a good point, Taylor. Well done. Way to start me off. This one says, my beef is with my wife's hangers. The top of the hanger has a cutout on each side, presumably to hold dress straps. But every time I grab one of my shirts off one of those hangers, the hanger fights back and won't let me have it. So every morning, 6 a.m., hanger and I have to drop gloves and go at it. Padre fan and 619. That's different. I like that. I like different. You know, I've done this for so long, this segment, that anytime you get something fresh, it makes it better. Rome, my beef is with my creepy aunt who likes to greet her nieces and nephews by kissing them on the lips instead of the cheeks. We are grown-ass adults, not some kids. I don't even kiss my own parents on the lips. When the holidays roll around, I have to act like a boxer who is hanging on tightly to their opponent in the 12th just so she doesn't have the space to plant one on my lips. Zach in Vancouver. Hey, Zach, I got a question. Does it involve tongue? Then what are you crying about, dude? And I see it working. You know what you should do if you really are like a boxer who's hanging on in the 12th? You should put a mouth guard in, too. A mouthpiece. You should go headgear. You should go headgear and mouthpiece. Rome, my beef is with the guy who says, I'll start my diet at the start of the new year. Hey, you lazy hack. You're going to do what you do every year. Work out for the first few weeks of January. Meal prep. Eat clean. Then return to reality in February and stuff your face with cheeseburger fries or whatever you eat. Dude, you're not fooling anyone. Steven. Yeah, but Steve, why does that bother you so much, man? It makes it easier for you, dude. Don't take that so personally. If they can't do it and you are doing it, you win. Jim, my beef is with people who host Thanksgiving dinner in a small house. They invite 30 people to a 3-bedroom house with 1 bathroom. Some of us had to eat on the couch, love seat, and card table. The turkey was undercooked. Most everybody got sick. Uncle Fred was in the can with the fish wrap, wailing like a widow at a funeral, leaving the rest of us to fend for ourselves. Jim in Temecula, there is your leader in the clubhouse. That sounds horrible. Jim, I have beef with my old man on Thanksgiving. He was like non-Old Trapper beef jerky. Dry, shriveled, and tasteless. All he did was pound Bush Light and cry and moan about my son making a smoked turkey instead of a roasted one. He self-glossed himself the Turkey King and said that he would have done better. Hey, it was delicious and a heck of a lot better than the crap you usually have. Be thankful. Jim and Hastings. It's a lot of beef with family today. Aunts, wives, fathers. Romy, I got a beef with the tool in front of me at the drive-thru. Dude got his food, drove to the end of the drive-thru, checked his food, realized it wasn't correct, and is now trying to put it in reverse to get back to the window. Hey, buddy, unless you're driving a DeLorean, you're not going back in time. You're not going back in time to this window. Pull into a parking stall and walk inside or get to the back of the damn line. Geoff and Lincoln. Not bad, Geoff. And for you, it's really good, actually. Mick Chicken Man tweets, my beef is with the guy who texts you gibberish. And then when you text what, his reply is, whoops, darn talk to text. I don't care if it's talk to text. Tell me what the hell you want. Jim, my beef is with Ben Roethlisberger. Is a Steeler? No way. An actual sports beef. No way. My beef is with Ben Roethlisberger. Is a Steeler fan. I am beyond sick of watching this noodle-armed statue being rolled out there every week, especially when I see mobile QBs who challenge defenses. Big Ben fashions himself as Tom Brady, but in reality, he doesn't put in the work. He keeps shoveling donuts and cheeseburgers down his pie hole as he keeps collecting that fat paycheck. Hey, Ben, get lost. We don't love you anymore. Brian and Charlotte. It does usually end like that, doesn't it? That's solid. Dear Jim, my beef is with the bag at work who ends every sentence with, just saying. Yeah, I know you're just saying because you just said it to me. Stop saying that, idiot. Just saying.
You're an idiot.
Brent and PC coming with some edge. Mr. Rome, my beef is with the dude that packs a fat lip of chew before playing pickup basketball at the YMCA. Every time this mouth breather sets a pick on me, I get the overwhelming stench of wintergreen mint. Get that log out your lip and get that stank breath out my face, you knucklehead. Nick and Erie, Nick, I think it's a strategy, dude. I think it's a tactic. Hey, Jim, I have a beef with the guy at a sporting event that puts his two fingers to his fat face and does that loud, annoying fan whistle. Seriously, sounds like an F-16 went off in my ear. I think this act should be added to the list of reasons to go, since it does cause me physical harm because I go deaf for at least 5 minutes afterwards. Steven in Sacktown. Just pounding through the beefs. This one says, here's my beef. When I'm getting off the highway and I throw my blinker on to prepare to exit, and that's when the asshat who's been bouncing around in my blind spot for the past 17 miles decides to stomp his gas pedal right through the floor. Now we're racing down the freeway at Mach 3 because homeboy is over here trying to live out his NHRA drag racing dream on LA freeways.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Signed, CJ in LA. I like it. At Shark Attack Mountain tweets, my beef is with coworkers who walk around the office barefoot. This isn't the Shire, you brain dead hobbits. Come on, dude. Is anybody walking around barefoot? Nobody's doing that, dude. I mean, do you work on the beach? Are you a lifeguard? Nobody's walking around barefoot. I'm fine with beefs. Just don't make them up. At T-Rob Actor, my beef is with the same bleeping crow that waits until I wash my car, then drops a giant bird turd on my clean ride. every damned time. It really cooks my goose. Dude, how do you know it's the same one? Is it? Hello, Jim. My beef is with anyone who consumes or sells bread and butter pickles. This trash should be illegal, along with green bean casserole. If you enjoy sugar, cucumbers, Windex, and ass, then these are for you. These pickles shouldn't even be allowed to be sold. Absolutely disgusting, straight garbage. War garlic dills. Matt in the SRQ. Hey, Jim, adding to your take on Monday, my beef is the zoo, pumpkin patch, amusement park, etc., making the only exit through the gift souvenir store. As your kids go nuts with the I wants, while you're trying quickly to herd them to the car. Be glad you made it to the parking lot. BZ in Pensacola. Man, there's a ton of them today. Hey, Jim. My beef is with my tiny daughters standing a centimeter in front of the door when it's time to go outside. Yo, kids, I can't open it up. Back the F up. Casey in New Hampshire. Casey, at least they want to go outside. Dude, at least they won outside. At least they're not stuck inside gaming or on their phones. Dear Van Smack, my beef is with positive thinking people. Take a look at the world around you. Half the planet is burning down or sinking into the ocean. Dictators on the verge of taking over free countries. Hatred, fear, panic on every street. Failing school systems, pandemics, no one showing up to work at McDonald's, NBA teams wearing so many different uniforms that you can't even tell the Lakers from the Celtics anymore. Mankind is doomed. We don't need your happy, bubbly, everything will be all right attitude to convince us otherwise. Mike and Casey. Jeff and NoCal is in. Jim, my beef is with long story short. If you hear this, run like hell, because you're about to be treated to somebody bloviating for 15 minutes about having chicken stuck in their teeth. You want to make your story shorter? Do not start it with long story short. That's a record right there, man. That's more tweets and emails we've ever had than we've ever had during the beef segment. Let's go to the phones. I'm running this thing out as long as I possibly can. Let's go to Wichita, James. Good to have you, James. What's your beef?
Yeah, I got a beef. I got a beef with unlocked kitchen cabinets that keep my old trapper safe, that can't seem to keep it safe. All these protein pirates that sail through my kitchen and loot my cabinets like it's their own personal treasure chest. Jim, every time I turn somebody on to old trapper, they love it. Simply life-changing. Full-time meal, part-time snack, now I'm full on protein. War protein pirates, war unlocked kitchen cabinets, now I'm out to buy a lock. War from the dub.
Rack him. Nice job, James.
Rack him.
I love that call. Not because he's all about the sponsor. Well, because he's all about the sponsor, but that he's calling out, quote, protein pirates. Great line. Protein pirates. All right, let's go to Erie, PA. Dominic in Erie. Dominic, good to have you. What is your beef?
Hey, Mr. Rome. Great show so far, as it always is. You know, my beef is with athletes who just won the championship, and they say it's such a humbling experience. You're at the top of the world making millions of dollars with the hottest of babes, and you just won a ring. That is the furthest thing from humbling, you douche. Oh, and speaking of douches, that Kathleen hag isn't funny at all and ruins the part of the beef segment. Hashtag no more lady clones.
Dom, he's out. Did you just say that hag, Kathleen? 1-800-636-8686. I'm here to tell you that, quote, hag ain't having it. I haven't seen her yet, which is unusual, but I guarantee she ain't having it. Let's go to Boise. Ty, you made it in. Ty, good to have you. What's your beef?
Jim, my beef is when you pass the guy going 10 miles an hour under the speed limit and you get the bird. Just press on the freaking gas pedal a little bit and go the speed limit. It's not going to kill you or anyone else, but it's killing me, old man. War Lady Clones making the show better, despite what the last guy said.
Attaboy, nice job, Ty. Appreciate it. It's not a reason to go. It's not personal, man. If you're driving under the speed limit and we go around you, that's not a reason to go, and that's not personal. I told you, I once passed a guy coming out of my neighborhood, a guy in a truck, like an electrical truck. This dude followed me to a gas station and got in my face and wanted to fight. I'm like, yo, bro, that ain't personal, dude. I know you got a problem with life. He hit me with a P-bomb, and he was going crazy because I passed him. That dude was looking to start something, no doubt in my mind. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go this time to Michigan. Jack, good to have you. Jack, what's your beef?
My beef is with Windbag Parent. Windbag Parent wants you to remember their family as they go through the stressful time of deciding whether Junior will take a full-ride scholarship to Stanford or MIT. They think Junior is the example of a model 18-year-old. The reality is he's a bad group of a candy bar.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Hey, Jack, my beef is the quality of your phone call. I don't know if you're trying to swallow your phone or what was going on. I kind of liked it, but this is absolutely incredible, right? Like, when you think, I mean, I'm just stringing these things back to back to back to back. I could probably do 3 hours of this. I'm having a good old time. Let's keep it going. 1-800-636-8686. You know what the great thing is, too? I mean, from every state in the country, we are getting beefs from everywhere. Let's go to East Tennessee. Anthony, good to have you. What's your beef? Anthony, what's going on? You're on the air.
Professional athletes.
Yeah.
My beef is with the professional athletes that go out there after the game and start talking to each other and pull their shirt up and put their hand over their mouth like they're hiding from the FBI or something, like it's some secret thing they're trying to tell each other. That drives me up the wall. Are they that important of people that they have to do that? Come on now. That drives me crazy.
My man, Anthony, I got you. I mean, there is mutual respect. Maybe they know each other from college. Maybe they know each other from AAU, youth football. Maybe they don't want us hearing them tell each other like, yo, what's up, man? How's the fam? How's your girl? How the kids? I don't know. It is your beef, though. It's cool. Banging through it. We still have some steam. We still have some juice. Let's go to the ABQ. Paul in Albuquerque. Good to have you, Paul. What's
hey, Rome, your beef? Hey, Rome. I just moved here from Los Angeles, and the beef I have is how people butcher the English language out here in Albuquerque. For instance, it's sandwich instead of sandwich. It's sonics instead of sonic. It's dynamos instead of dominoes. It's get down from the car instead of get out of the car. It's a constant here, and that's my biggest beef.
My man, that's funny. Nice job, Paul. He just moved to Albuquerque from L.A., and they're butchering the language. You know they're two of my favorite towns, though, dude. You know that. Albuquerque is an Original Four affiliate. I love Albuquerque. I'm a Los Angeles native, so I feel you. This is incredible. Let's go to Alaska before we wrap it. Matt in Alaska. Matt, what's your beef?
Jimmy, it's good to talk to you again. I got a beef with the callers today. These calls are Bush League. Can you please get us back to Twitter and the email? I'm out.
Not too bad. They've been better. They've been worse. 1-800-636-8686. You know, the amazing thing is, I just ran that thing off for 20 straight minutes. Literally. That may be a record for the segment. And every line is still lit. Chalk, is there one more to walk off on, or was that the one? Let's get one more in here. Houston, John in H-Town. You're going to close the show. John, good to have you. What's your beef?
Hey, Jim, my beef is when I'm watching my child at the playground and another parent's constantly watching their phone. Then he lifts her head up. Where's my child? Where's my child? She's asking me. And I'm like, watch your own damn child. And I got to point over there. And then she goes, breathes a sigh of relief, then just gets right back and put her nose in the phone.
Got it. All right. Where's my child? Where's my child? Your child's over there. Oh, good. I can go back to my phone now. I remember once I was at Balboa Park. Strange thing about Balboa Park, that's in the 818 San Fernando Valley. I actually used to take tennis lessons when I was a kid at Balboa Park. We lived in the valley before we moved to where we are right now. And strangely enough, my kid played soccer. I know, really weird, right? Jake played soccer. Then Logan played soccer because that's what kids did. And all these kids were lined up and they were, and their soccer ball in front of them. And this one bitch, yeah, I said it, this mom stomps across the field because he's like four. And I walk over to this woman. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, what are you doing? She's like, it's my ball. I'm like, it's not your ball. She's like, it's my ball. I'm like, can you turn that ball over for a minute? In giant red letters, Rome. And she's like, I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. Oh, yeah, things happen at the park, man. For some reason, that stayed with me. The only thing more aggravating to me about soccer and my family is Logan once scored 6 goals in a game and was all proud and feeling himself. I'm like, dude, stop telling people that. Stop embarrassing the family. You know, 10 years forward, I'll put your pitching up on my Instagram story, but I'm not putting any of your goals up. Stop telling people you scored 6 goals. You're embarrassing me. And no, that's not a humble brag. I mean that. He embarrassed me. Stop telling people you scored 6 goals, son. They'll know you play. Which brings me, of course, to my famous story. Yeah, I know, Albie. I know. Break. Can you imagine when Logan said, hey, Dad, you know what I want for my birthday?
Break.
Anything you want, son. Yeah, I want to go to an LA Galaxy game. Yeah, anything but that. That's all I want. Yeah, we're not doing that. I'd rather go back to Disneyland with 12 of your friends and go through the toy store and give them a $40 budget. Yeah, Dad, I really want to go to a Galaxy game. Oh, hell no. Break. Let's get out of here, Albie.
Break.
Good job. Of course, Greg Berhalter is my best friend now. The coach of the USMNT. Greg Berhalter is the best coach I know in any sport. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, and they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you know you can trust. Do you need gift ideas? Their holiday gift guide has something for everybody on your list at prices under $15, such as a pair of Mechanics Wear black-coated winter gloves, a Power Torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a Slime digital tire gauge, and so much more. Check out the holiday gift guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com. They even offer convenient options for you to get your order quickly. Purchase online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your parts and your holiday gifts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Time now to shop Dell Technologies' biggest sale of the year. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. So shop Cyber Monday deals on Windows 11 PCs, servers, storage, monitors, and more. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. Got Ryan Shazier coming up next segment, so how about we get a quick ATP in here, boys? ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. He's back. Jimmy Jim, have you ever handmade Janet a gift? Brenton PC. A gin martini. Does that count? No, I'm not. I think, let me say, like, I want to say that I'm not the handiest guy in the world, but there was that one time that I knitted her a wedding gown. Or a sweater. I built her a house by hand once. Yeah, no. Which is really ironic because it's kind of a funny story in a way. Her father, literally, and when I say literally, I mean literally, built the house that she grew up in. And he passed away. Was an amazing man, her dad. Combat vet. Represented this country. He built the house. He was a master craftsman, her dad, my father-in-law. And they lived in the house 50 years. And Janet's mom still lives in that house. And you're asking me, have I ever handmade Janet a gift? It's a hilarious notion, actually. The only thing that I ever actually did in that regard with my hands, back in our old house, I think I've told you, we had a circular staircase made out of wood, and we wanted to put iron in. And the company that did the iron said, we'll do the iron, but you got to take the wood out yourself. I'm like, what? No, can I just pay you to do that? Isn't that your job? They're like, no, we don't do that. That's not the job, jerk. We just do the iron. The wood is your responsibility. So me and my father-in-law ripped out the double spiral wooden staircase. And damn, I felt handy. Popped a few Heinekens, got the hammer out, saws out, started breaking bleep up. So the answer is no, I've never handmade her a gift. Jeremy from Baco writes, that was your best What's Your Beef segment. I would agree. It was the best. Shark Attack Mountain. Jim, there are a couple of people in my office who walk from their office to the printer sans shoes. I am not a liar.
You're a liar.
Do you want to go? I don't know, man. I've never seen people take their shoes off at work, honestly. Airplane, sure. Hey, Jim, the beef with people walking around barefoot is a reality here at my law firm. There are attorneys that do walk around barefoot and also with furry Disney slippers and sweatpants. Signed, Robert at the law firm in Long Beach. Dude, at a law firm. All right, so let me ask you this, Robert. Is that a pandemic thing or has it always been that way? Like, I know things have changed in terms of casual work wear and work dress. Or have the attorneys always walked around barefoot and with their Disney slippers? Disney slides. Dude, do they show up in pajamas? I don't know. We've had some weird stuff here. Nobody's ever come to work barefoot, man. All right, so when we come back, what you got, Albie?
Dude, now. Albie just said, dude, you know what? I think I'll come in to work in a bathrobe tomorrow. May as well.
When we come back, Ryan Shazier is scheduled to join us. That's coming up next. First up, here is your... Welcome back. Jim Rome with you. Good show. Fun show today. Good day. And I'm going to wrap it up with this. One last segment. I am very happy to say we are joined right now by a two-time Pro Bowl selection. He was a first-team All-American. He was a two-time first-team All-Big Ten player. He was the 15th pick overall in 2014 out of Ohio State. He is an NFL analyst, and now he is officially an author of Walking Miracle. It came out yesterday. Ryan Shazier is my guest. Ryan, it's really good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself? Thank you for having me, Jeff.
It's good to have you, Ryan. Really good to have you. You know, it's been a minute or two since you and I have spoken, so I was looking forward to getting caught up with you. A lot to talk about, but first things first, your book did drop yesterday. You are now officially a published author. How does that feel?
It feels amazing. It feels amazing. When I was growing up, one day I didn't know if I would be an author. You know, I was never a big writer. So to now be a published author is an amazing feat, and I'm really excited about it.
Good for you. All right, so why don't we go back, Ryan? For instance, when you were a sophomore in high school, and of course you talk about this at length, but when you were a sophomore in high school, you were diagnosed with scoliosis. What did the doctor tell you about your future in football at that time?
Yeah, I had a doctor at that time tell me my scoliosis was going to need surgery and that I was not going to be able to play football again, and I was going to have to start. Basically, I couldn't play any contact sports, so that kind of broke my heart and my family's heart. And the one thing my parents did, they didn't just listen to that one doctor. They got an opinion from other doctors. And the other doctors, they said they would find a way to allow me to continue the not fix it, but help the process of my scoliosis. And that allowed me to play football.
All right, so Ryan, the thing is, the story goes that you wore a bulky brace. You slept in an upright position for months to try to make sure that you could keep on playing football. Like, what was it about the game that you loved so much that you were willing to make those sacrifices to keep on playing?
I was playing football since I was 5 years old, so all I know is the game of football. And I was really good at that time. So for me to be told, hey, you'll never be able to play football again, and I was right in the prime of my high school career. I was as a sophomore. I was starting to get schools looking at me. I started getting offers. So it was more than just, hey, Ryan, you can't play football. It was, man, you know, my life can change if I get a scholarship to go play football, and I just wanted to make sure that I continue to push forward with that. And that's why it was so important to me.
Ryan Shazier joining us. The book is called Walking Miracle. It came out yesterday. So that's exactly what you did. You kept going forward. You kept playing. You go to Ohio State. You have an amazing career there. Then you're a star with the Steelers. What was your life like at that point?
Yeah, it was crazy. The one thing that I noticed as playing, that in the NFL, it's really fun. It's really awesome. But you still have to work hard. And people might say, you know, Ryan, you worked hard to get to where you got. But I did work hard. But if you want to be special, you have to find a niche that works for you to even work harder. And that's why I started to find out the two times I ended up being a Pro Bowler. And as I was continuing to move forward, and because it can be all fun and games, and you can be a good player, make a lot of money, but if you want to be a special one, you have to put in a little bit extra and do a little bit more. And I started to notice that, and I really felt like I was going to another level.
Ryan Shazier joining us. There's that, and you know, the one thing, when I think about when you played the game and I used to watch you, the thing that always struck me about you was the speed that you brought to the game. You just seemed to play at a different level, a different gear, faster, excuse me, than everybody else. You write about the adrenaline rush that comes along with forcing a fumble or picking off a pass. Is there any way to describe for listeners what that felt like?
Yeah, it's almost hard to explain, and I think that's one of the reasons Tom Brady still plays the game of football, because I love, you know, being a father. I love owning the business, writing a book. I love being on a podcast and shows, but the having the thrill of going out there picking up somebody, or having the 100,000 people cheering on you when you're in the moment or doing something, you can't really explain that feeling. It's such an adrenaline rush. It's almost like you're jumping out of a plane, or you know, you're doing something that is almost that people wouldn't believe you get the opportunity of doing. So to be able to do that on the highest level, I don't see many things that can compare to those things. And I know Tom Brady wants to play until, you know, he's 60 years old, and I don't blame him, because, you know, winning Super Bowls, that's you have amazing feelings. Like, having my kids is one of the best emotions and feelings I ever had in my life. But it's not the same type of feeling as playing in the NFL, or picking off a pass, or scoring a touchdown, or getting a sack when you need it, you know. So it's really hard to make people feel what it's like. But imagine, you know, the best day of your life
but you get to do that multiple times in one day. You know, so that's kind of like that's. I think that's kind of the best way to explain those type of things.
Right. Ryan Shea is here joining us. Ryan, I want to be respectful about how I talk about this, but going into the December 4th, 2017 game against Cincinnati, you had a high ankle sprain. There was the thought that maybe you would not play, but you decided that you wanted to go because you were a leader on one of the best defenses in the league. You were battling for home field at that point. At one point, you went to tackle Josh Malone, and you thought to yourself, keep your head up before you hit him. What do you remember about what happened next?
The thing that was so crazy with that play is that he did a drag route. It was just a typical play. And I seen him, and I was like, hey, you know, let me keep my head up. And the NFL, they implemented rules, you know, to try to keep guys' heads up so they don't really get hurt. So I was like, let me try to practice on, you know, make a tackle with my shoulder. And because before when I tackle people, I didn't go in like, oh, I'm about to make a big hit or, oh, I'm about to try to hit his head with my head. I literally just ran my fastest to people, and I'm like, I'm going to take you down the best way I can take you down. If I hit your leg, I'm hit your leg. If I hit your shoulder, I'm hit your shoulder. But it wasn't like, oh, on the way there, I'm going to hit his leg. I'm going to hit his shoulder. I'm going to hit his head. You know, it was more of, I'm on my way there, and then this is the quickest body part I can grab, or this is, you know, this is the fastest way I can hit him. You know, so on that play, I was like, man, this is a typical play, so this isn't hard at all. So I actually, like, slowed down and thought about how I was going to hit him. And I try to get my head out of the way, and I end up hitting it in the ship. And that's how I end up getting hurt.
So, Ryan, you had lost complete function at one point, and you knew that you were told that you had a 3% chance of walking again. Then you started to wiggle your toes. Your walking percentage increased to 20%. These are really, really scary numbers. Like, there is so much to your story, but how were you able to find the emotional, the mental, and physical toughness to get through this and walk again?
So one of the things that I knew was that my whole life I was kind of against the odds, having alopecia at a young age. Only about 20% of people have alopecia. Having scoliosis, about 20% of people have that. And then making it to the NFL, you know those odds, that's like less than 1%. Or making it to college, making it to a D1 school, that's less than 1%, you know. And then even if you make it to D1, to be an All-American, that's less than 1%, you know. So to be able to get all those things, get all those accolades, and understand that, hey, I had to work my butt off to get all these things, but I was always against the odds. I was like, hey, I don't see this being any different. I've been against the odds my whole life. I've overcame so much my whole life. It's only building me up for this moment to overcome this. And that's kind of the mindset I took going into this.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Like, you had always beaten the odds, and you're like, this is just the next thing. Let me ask you this. Was there ever any point in the process where you asked, why me?
I didn't really have a lot of why me moments. I might, like, people, everybody's going to say why me, but I didn't really have a lot of those. I had more of, what's the plan? Because I'm a believer in God. And it was more, what's the plan? And how do you want to use me? Because I thought my plan was to play football until, you know, 15 years. And obviously, he had another plan for me. God had another plan for me. So I just did what I had to do to focus on that and just try to be the best I can be and use what I'm going through as a vision to continue to move forward. Because when you start asking why me and think about all the things you've done to succeed, and it's only going to make you cry or make you put yourself down or get in really tough situations that is going to really be hard to overcome. So I wanted to make sure I didn't do that to myself, because people can always look back at times when they're like, oh, man, this was awesome. But me going back and thinking about a pick I might have had in college, or me going back and like, man, if I never got hurt, you know, never played in that game, I'll probably still be in the NFL and making great money. Like, I can think about all that stuff all the time, but it's not going to make me feel any better. So one thing I wanted to do is really just focus in on what made me feel better and how I can continue to get better through that. And so that's why I didn't want to say why me.
Ryan, I think that what you just said, I cannot stress what an amazing response that is to me, because I think that what you went through is so much more dramatic than when 99.9% of the people listening would ever go through. But I think we all get sucked into that, right? Like, Everything was better back in the day, right? Everything. And if you get so caught up in thinking about that, you can't look forward and you can't process what's in front of you, right? Isn't that the bottom line?
Yeah, that's the bottom line. But Jim, even think about it. Even back in the day, I made it All-American. You know, I was first-team All-American. But I even told myself back in the day, man, I wish I won the Heisman, or I wish I would never won. So it's like, you all, like, so instead of, you know, trying to go back, because even those days when it was, everything was perfect, you still had want.
There's always something.
Wishes. It was always something. So to me, I was like, I'm not going to go back to that moment and think about, man, this was so great, because there was still something that I wish I had then. So I tell myself now, all right, this is the situation. All right, Ryan, let's figure out how we could thrive through this situation. And that's what I wanted to do.
I love this. I love this so much. This is the situation. Let's figure out how to thrive in this situation. This book came out yesterday. It's called Walking Miracle. Ryan Shazier was a 2-time Pro Bowl selection. Like, I could run these things down, but that kind of defeats the message. The message being, this is the situation. Let's thrive in this situation. Ryan, I really appreciate you. So great to get caught up. Congrats on the book. Let's be sure we can do it again soon and finish off that conversation.
Yeah, I definitely love to talk again. Thank you so much for having me. And I think this book, you know, it can help everybody. And one thing I like to talk about is, with all this going on with COVID, and I feel like my book is a perfect example of it, nobody expected the world to shut down for 2 whole years. And to me, nobody expected me to ever be injured, but then overcome it.
That's it. Exactly. This is the perfect time for that book, Ryan. The perfect time for the book. The book is called Walking Miracle. You should go out and get it right now. Ryan Shazier, closing this show like an absolute boss. Ryan, I appreciate you. We'll do it again soon. My thanks to him. See you tomorrow. We're out.